As I mentioned, we'll be in 2 Thessalonians again next week. Wonderful time this last week, this week of fasting and prayer. By the way, Jennifer got sick, and thank you, Thomas and Ellie, for stepping up. We loved having Ellie be a part of the worship. Just so sweet to see father and daughter up there, and I've had two, and now, when I came to the Lord in 1983, a long time ago, my first ministry was, I joined an intercessory prayer group that we prayed through the service, every service. And that, I've sort of learned how to pray with these guys and women that would gather, and we just prayed for the whole service. Every day, every Sunday, we would pray. And then when I got to Calvary Chapel of Gridley in 1986, I would go and I would sit on the back of, we were in a women's club, a little rented women's club that was roughly this size building, a very small building. And I would go sit on the back cupboards of this room where I could sit Indian style. I don't sit that well that way anymore, but I'd sit Indian style and I would just pray at the back of people's heads. And that's what I called it. Lord, I'm just praying at the back, just praying for the service, doing the same thing I did. Now this is 1986 or seven. And so this one morning it was cold and they had not left the heat on, and we got in there and it was probably about 40 degrees in the building, and we cranked up the heat and it took a long time to heat up. And so I went back and I'm sitting Indian style on the cupboards, you know, back there in the back, and I'm praying, and there was a window here and the sun was shining down on these cupboards, and I went, I'm going to scoot over there. So I did. I got in there and oh my goodness, like a Cheshire cat. I was like, oh, that feels so good. The warmth. It was just wonderful. Now I can pray. I slept through the whole service. And I know how to snore. I didn't, and I'll tell you, it was very embarrassing, but, so I'm there and I wake up like 2 minutes before the pastor closes. And I look and I see it looking at the back of all these people, and I see them talking to each other and then looking back at me. I see their shoulders doing this because they're laughing about this guy that just snoozed through the whole service. I didn't realize, my pastor Bob, it was before he got his hearing aids. He didn't hear a thing. So as soon as the service was over, he came to the back of the building, and I was so humiliated, so embarrassed. I said, Bob, it wasn't you. Because I thought, you know, he's going to be like, wow, really like my preaching, do you? But he, like I said, he hadn't heard me. And so he thought I was sharing with him that the Lord had done some profound speaking into my life during the message. And he said, I know, praise the Lord. And I was like, I don't know what to say. So that was, those are a couple of incidents in my prayer life that were significant. Two other very significant moments for me, and I shared this not long ago with the men's group. In the year 2000, my daughter was critically ill, near death, at a hospital in San Diego. It was 500 miles from home. And we didn't, it was touch and go. She'd had a pulmonary embolism and was in very bad shape. And so I began to pray Psalm 61. And I'll read to you the words that I was praying. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I'll cry to you. And I was crying to God, crying out to God for my baby girl. This is many years before she went to be with the Lord. She's in heaven. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you've been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. And I'll abide in your tabernacle forever. I'll trust in the shelter of your wings. So I'm praying that in the intensive care unit, praying over my daughter, praying that, walking outside to get some air and pray. And I'm just praying Psalm 61. It's just so heavily on my heart. So a few days in, because my daughter was there for a long time, ended up being in the hospital for most of a year. But a few days in, the phone rings in the intensive care waiting room. As I mentioned, I'm 500 miles from home, and it was a woman in my church in Northern California. And somebody answered the phone. They said, "Is there somebody named Pastor John here?" I said, "Yeah, I'm here." And they said, "This is for you." And I was like, "Oh, that's kind of odd." So I went and I got on the phone, and it was a woman, Renee. Her husband had been a high priest in the LDS church, and she had come to the Lord. Her husband would stand very stoically outside in our foyer, wouldn't go in the sanctuary until he got saved, ended up on our worship team, different story. But Renee's there, she's on the phone, and she said, "Pastor John, I have to do this." I said, "What are you talking about, Renee?" She said, "I've never done this before, and I'm not sure how to go about it, but I was in prayer, and I just had to call you. I believe that what God wanted me to do is to call you." And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "I believe that what God wants you to do is to read Psalm 40, the beginning of the psalm." I said, "All right, Renee, thank you. I will go do that right now." As I said, my daughter's in bad shape. I've been crying out to God, "Hear my prayer, O God, attend unto my prayer." Psalm 40, as I read it, I wept. So I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, established my steps. By this point, I'm rejoicing, because this is God talking to me. My girl laying there, clinging to life, and God saying, "You know what? I hear your prayers. You put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord." And I'm sharing that story today because I know that God still uses that. So that was probably the first great moment in my life for prayer. I mean, I had served God, and I totally believed in prayer and had been faithfully serving in different areas throughout my walk with the Lord and ministry and all, but that was a big moment for me. Another big moment this last week. So many times as we would be wrapping up either a morning meeting at 6 in the morning, 6:30 at night, every day, I would walk to the back of the sanctuary and I would just look, and I was praying at the back of your heads if you were here. Fortunately, didn't fall asleep and snore through it. But I would just, my heart would be full. "Oh Lord, I just rejoice at the work that you're doing in the hearts of so many. I rejoice at the unity that's coming about in this body because we've gone through this crazy period of growth in the last year. And you know that if you're sitting here and you weren't here a year ago, that you're part of that. And it's been phenomenal and amazing and something that only God could engineer and do. And I've just been blessed to be a part of what God's doing in this church, in this body, in this family of believers." And I want to open it up. There are a number of people that I've asked, but I also know that if you were here and you have something you want to share, I'd like to open it up for people to be able to share from their vantage point, from their point of view, the things that God has been doing throughout this last week. It's been a marvelous time, powerful time. Des, could you get up?
You had to sit. I didn't wear my glasses on purpose so that you guys are blurry. Just to let you know. Is this on? Can people hear me? I was telling Crystal last night, there's no way I'm getting up there. There's no way I'm getting up there. And then Pastor John on my way out caught me, and he's like, "Are you going to get up there?" And I was like, "No." And then I actually had this just real quick vision last night when I got home of me up here and just this huge light behind me. And no offense, but there was nobody out here. But I believe that was God just telling me to do it for him. So a little bit about myself. I wish I could say that I was raised in religion and have been following God for a long time, but that's just not true. I was on and off drugs from 11 to 25, and towards the end of it, I just truly felt the spiritual warfare around me, the struggle for my soul between God and Satan. And there's a lot after that I won't get into, just for time's sake. I got a lot into the Word this week, too, and I spent the whole week in one book, which was Esther. And as you guys know, that's a book where God's not mentioned. But the more you read it again and again, you see him everywhere there. And I learned a new word, which is providence. I just thought that was the name of the hospital. And so you learn something new every day. And through reading Esther and then reflecting back on my time when I didn't know the Lord, or when I walked away from the Lord, because there's been times where I knew him but chose to walk away anyway, I just reflect on how God was using my free will to his advantage. And I thank God for his providence. This week in prayer, the way that I feel like God speaks to me typically is a lot of confirmation, because I'm someone that needs confirmation a lot, particularly in scripture. Like in the past, I get a lot of confirmation when I ask for it. I'll read a certain scripture, just like, you know, there's 66 books, but how many pages are there? And I read one little chapter, and then I just so happen to speak to somebody that does that too. And one morning, Pastor Don said that he was praying Psalm 5 over the church on his way in, and that Kathy had walked in and said a verse from Psalm 5. Well, that morning I was reading Psalm 4 and 5. So that was moving. First night, I don't know if it was night or morning, all the days run together, but I was in a prayer group with a few people and Pastor John, and I got in the hot seat, and he said, "What do you want to pray for?" And I just mumbled, you know, and he's like, "Huh?" And I was like, "I don't know, spiritual gifts." He's like, "Boldness?" I was like, "Yes, exactly." So, so I thank God that I did become more bold. I thank God that as many times as I've denied him publicly in my life, that I can get up here and just speak of him and his good works. I was also touched by all the vulnerability in every prayer group, every single prayer group. You know, sometimes I would go to pray in the mornings and just be like, what's going to happen from this? But every single prayer group, people's vulnerability was just so moving. And, you know, when I couldn't find words, they found the words. So God was speaking to them sometimes for me. And I just, good things are happening. And I don't have all the words for it. But, I'm happy that I can continue praying every morning. Alone in my house, I still feel his presence. I still feel it. It's not something that I wanted to do just for a week, although I probably won't be fasting anymore. I can still take that same attitude and humility into prayer with the Lord every morning. And I'm not good at quoting scripture or anything, but one that really stood out to me this week was Proverbs 16:9. And it's something like, the human makes plans in his hearts, but the Lord establishes the steps. So I don't know if anybody needs to hear that, but that's what I've got.
Thank you, Desiree. Okay, you got to cut off. Okay. Is this one not working? So we'll figure it out. So as we move along, something that was remarkable to me was, you know, we talk about breakthroughs, and sometimes that's a word that gets a lot of traction, and sometimes it's like, well, you know, was that really breakthrough, or was it something else? And yet, I remember praying with Mary. Come on up here, Mary, you're next. Praying with Mary Worthington, and her saying, I'll just paraphrase, that she was slightly terrified praying in a group. and that is this something that was outside of her comfort zone? And when I asked her to come up and to share. It was because towards the end of the week, I was praying in a group with this woman, and she was a warrior. I mean, there was this like no fear, and she was just praying anointed prayers. Share with us.
You have to hold the microphone close.
You got it. Yeah, the microphone has to go. I know, but there are people online need to hear it too.
So the first night we started praying, we were on the way home, and Darren asked me if I would be willing to share, and I said, "Well, I guess." Two things that, and I had been thinking about this, what I was going to say. So I'm a verbal processor, so I'm probably going to try not to ramble too much, but two of the things is what Pastor John said is praying out loud and speaking in public. So this is one of the things that I think God has really put on my heart this week to really do. And sometimes it was just to remain silent and just let the group pray. But I know when I did, I felt the Holy Spirit. And that's not that I haven't before, but with so many things that have happened in my life, that's not something that I experience on a regular basis. And so I was thinking what I was going to say this morning, and I thought, oh, I'll just write it all down. Well, my mind moves faster than how fast I can write every single word on the page, so I gave up. The encouraging thing that came to me was I also don't see myself as the way everybody else sees me. So having that encouragement and that confirmation from people this week was like a father, you know, talking to his daughter and saying, "You can do this." And so I really appreciated that from everyone that gave me that confirmation. And God's just been bringing things into my life, giving me ideas. The women's retreat, it's like, I see a need, just do it. I don't think about it as being a servant, but getting some ideas and having this week, and just, I'm not making any sense. So I'm just going to make it shorter. But the one thing that God, I believe, spoke to me in my mind was just pray. And so I'm going to say a prayer, and then I've got to be done for a while. So if you would pray with me, I'd really appreciate that. Heavenly Father, I just come before you right now, and I just thank you so much for the things that you've done this week, and especially with me. Lord, I know there are other people that are in here that are afraid maybe to pray out loud. So give them the courage to do so, Lord. Know that their prayers are not just for the people around them. They are directly from the person that's praying them to you. It doesn't matter. And like Thomas has said, and it's just another confirmation that your prayers don't have to be this eloquent speech, that we can come to you at any time we need to, and you're going to hear us, and you're going to answer our prayers. And so, Father God, I thank you for how you're moving in this church, and I am so thankful to be part of this body and this family. Some of us don't have families to come to, and so that we can come here and be together and lift each other up in prayer, whatever it is that we're going through. So, Father, I just thank you for this time. Thank you for the people that are going to share today. And I just ask all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Watch yourself. One of the things that I was impressed with, as Desiree mentioned, coming down the hill into Newburgh, I live in McMinnville, and coming down the hill, it's dark, and I'm thinking about Psalm 5, had my Bible program open to it and was going to share. I would share a little bit every morning, just a different scripture pertaining to prayer, pertaining to what we're about and what we're doing, just to hopefully encourage or to speak into someone's life or whatever. And Kathy walked in the door reciting word for word what I was reading. And It was just a remarkable moment, and I started laughing. And so as we were going along, one of the things, Kathy, come on up. I want to have you share. So as we're going along, she said, this is like several mornings in. We're all there. It's probably 6:15 in the morning or whatever it was. And she said, this is addicting. And she said, I'm going to have you over here. She said, I'm going to probably be here next week at 6 o'clock every morning. I thought, well, I won't. But she read one morning a passage. It was interesting because we were in these circles of five chairs each and all. And yet this one morning, spontaneously, every time someone walked in the room, they would just grow the circle and grow the circle and grow the circle to where we didn't have a bunch of five chair circles. We had one circle. And it was one of the most glorious moments because there was a profound silence that fell upon that group. I called it a holy hush. And yet God was interrupting that silence with one gentleman, one of our brothers, began to sing, and then Kathy began to read this passage of scripture, and it's one of those you had to be there things, but it was just beautiful. And I've asked her to read the same passage out of Colossians to us this morning.
Okay. All right, so I collect lots of verses, bifocals. So I collect verses. I collect verses on the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. To me, those don't make sense that they can fit in the same box, but I see evidences of them all through Scripture, so I collect those verses. I collect verses on how the Holy Spirit works through us, and I also collect songs, verses that are songs, and that's how I happen to be singing that song that morning coming in of Psalm 5. So this is actually a song, but it talks about the supremacy of God. And it was, I think the Spirit just had me want to share that with the group that morning. And so I want to share it with you now. It's Colossians 1, 15 to 22, or 20-ish, anyway. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Of course, I was sobbing while I read this. I probably owe you guys like 6 boxes of Kleenex because I, whatever. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, here we go. Although you were formerly aliens and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Praise God.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
So I encourage you all to collect verses. Also, I wanted to talk about the fasting thing.
Go for it.
Okay, so 2 weeks ago we kind of studied, you know, what is fasting, and then we're like, yeah. Okay, so I've got major stomach issues, so I'm like, okay, food's got to be, like, not off the table here. And so I fasted from entertainment, like Facebook, television, you know, anything like that, and wine for the week. And I just want to say that it really opened up my time to just really commune with the Lord. And then one other quick thing. At Bi-Mart, can I tell that funny story?
Of course.
At Bi-Mart,
you've got it.
I'm checking out. And the guy in front of me was checking out ahead of me, of course, and the checker was frustrated with some mistake. He goes, "Oh, good Lord," like that. And I said, "Yes, he is a good Lord, isn't he?" And the customer ahead of me said, "Amen." Thank you.
Thank you, Captain. I love it. One of the things that really blessed me was just getting to know people on a more intimate. You don't get a lot more intimate with brothers and sisters in Christ than if you're there praying with them and you're pouring out your heart about different things that are going on. And we had some tough things to pray through. There was a young man took his life over in McMinnville, and we were praying through that. There was a diagnosis for cancer for someone, for my mother-in-law, and we were praying through that, and the different things that were coming up. Yesterday, a report coming in that Rick and Rana's son, Ricky, had a terrible motorcycle accident, had seriously injured his back, and so wonderful time of prayer, but also some very serious times of prayer as well. And through that, you know, I kind of got a sense. The sense I had was, you know, you see in war movies or maybe you've been in the military and there's a camaraderie that happens among soldiers because when they're serving together and when they're in the trenches together and when their lives are thrown together for the single purpose of what they're doing. And I had a sense of that this last week as far as being involved in prayer with these people, with different ones, and just the relationships that are being forged. And again, I would stand in the back of the room and pray for people and see that as the time was beginning to wind up, that there would just be some wonderful, quiet conversation going on in the different groups. And just praying, "Oh Lord, just knit people's hearts together." And it was just a real blessing to be able to witness that, to be a part of it for sure, but to witness that. Because, folks, we live in a very tedious time. At the moment in history that we're at, we don't know, literally, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We never have. But when you look, I read the prophetic word and I look at birth pangs and I look at things. I mean, we've been in these prophetic books, Paul's prophetic books in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and seeing that things are already outlined and that it's sort of like a jigsaw puzzle. You know how if you're doing a jigsaw puzzle and you're trying to make that piece fit and it almost fits, but it doesn't? Well, that's not the case in the days in which we live. Those pieces are falling into place. We need each other. We don't just want to be around each other. We don't just want to build relationships and increase the circle of friends that we have. But there is a genuine need because things could tip. We've had it so easy in our nation. I was reading, actually watching a report on television, Jack Hibbs, many of you are aware of him, the senior pastor at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, well-known guy. And he was invited by the Speaker of the House of Representatives to be the stand-in chaplain for giving the invocation for opening a session of Congress here a couple of weeks ago. And the letter that was written by the people with the spirit of Antichrist in the upper echelons of our government was absolutely striking. And there are people in positions of power, and you don't need me to tell you, and I'm not here to pound a political point home, and yet there are people in positions of power that would want to harm the church, that would want to come against the church. And it wouldn't take a lot for persecution to begin to break out because we live in a godless world. So one of the things, again, as I mentioned, the things that I saw was relationships forging and deepening. And yes, for the purpose of friendship, that's great. And the purpose of fellowship, that's great. And as the days grow darker, we need to pull together. And we need to be able to know. I know that there are a number of people that all I'd have to do is pick up the phone and say, "I have this need or that," and that they'd be there. So Just an interesting time of introspection, an interesting time to look out and to see what was going on in the body. Peggy, would you come up and share? Peggy Kilberg wants to share some with us as well. Got that?
I had a hunch I was next when you talked about sharing things without knowing people well. I am Peggy. My sweet husband, Gary, is over there. We've been coming here maybe 4 or 5 months, and we noticed right off the bat what a friendly group of people you are. But we, you know, it was high, get acquainted a little bit, introduce each other, and then head out the door. So when we came to the first prayer gathering, for us that was Sunday night, we were a little nervous, and we ended up praying with Darcy and Mark and another Mark, and it was a great time. The next night we came, we were hoping to get to sit with them again, that comfort zone, but we didn't. And after that, it didn't matter who we sat with. And in fact, by the last few days, I'm thinking, who haven't we sat with? Because our hearts are being bound together. So I'm glad for many reasons that prayer will be a Saturday night regular thing, and hoping to connect with more people then. So besides getting to know people a little bit better in those groups, sharing burdens with each other was such a blessing. And one of the biggest burdens we carry, Gary and I, is for our children and grandchildren who are not walking with the Lord. It's heavy. Many are, and we praise God for them. Anyway, I don't even know if it was morning or night when David shared about praying and never giving up. And he used the story of Hannah praying for her son. I'll tell you, that just lightened my heart so much. And then the other thing was bringing that burden out every chance we got in these groups and having other people lift up our kids and grandkids. So, you know, I'm not a very patient person. I want it now. But I'll tell you, I have a peace and an assurance that is stronger than it was. I have a dear friend who died many years ago praying for a granddaughter. And when she died, her granddaughter was still on the streets of Portland involved in drugs. But you know what? God answered her prayer after her death. And that sweet girl, who's probably 50 by now, has been walking with the Lord so closely. So I think of that now and then. That was a little digression. So this week, I mean, the Holy Spirit was so close. People I'd known casually, some I didn't know at all, you know, I had new insight into them and their burdens and pains and joys. So that was beautiful. And the Holy Spirit nudged me in a few areas. One was in serving, so I'll check that out, see what he wants me to do. The other one was harder, and that happened to be a night when Pastor John was in our group. And I have a brother that we've broken off relationship with for 3 or 4 years, and God's nudging me to reconcile with this angry man who's alienates people left and right, especially his family. So praying about how to do that, what it looks like, the timing, but I needed that nudge. And being here with this focused prayer and more time at home where I just wanted to get in the Word and never stop all day was sweet too. So anyway, I better stop, but it was all a blessing. And again, I'm so thankful we'll get to do this every Saturday night.
Thank you, Peggy. I got a couple of more people I'd like to have share, but I also want to open it up. If I haven't asked you about sharing, if you have something on your heart, now's the time. I would love to have you come and to share with the body. And don't be shy. Barbara.
Oh, I have to come up. Okay.
There you go.
I wasn't sure what I was going to be walking into. I've never done anything like this, but, and I've been in the church for 50 years. And the first night I wasn't blown away, you know, but gradually I found myself wanting to come because I knew I was going to meet him and have his presence for sure while I was here. And if there's anything I crave, and you've heard the saying, David, a man after God's own heart. This is Barb, after God's own heart. And I could feel his presence when I was here, even if I didn't say a word through the whole time. And that was my motivator.
Thank you, Barbara. Thanks, James. Anyone else? Thomas, come on up.
Thank you. Wow. what a week. And I have something on my heart that I want to share with you all. But first, I think the overall sense that we all came away with is that God is digging our roots deep. And not just individually, but intertwined with each other. You know, the Bible speaks of a three-cord strand not being easily broken. Now, we got a multiplication of that happening here, digging deep into him. One of my favorite comments, I think, was from Pastor John, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, we're not a Pentecostal church, but things are happening. Right? And he couldn't be more right. And I think it's despite us, we weren't ramping up the emotions. We weren't putting on a show. We just came. And so did God. And not that he isn't always here, but he opened our eyes a little bit more to who he already is. But the testimony I wanted to spend just a couple minutes talking about didn't happen this week. It happened quite a few years ago through one of the hardest periods of my life. At the time, we were living in Washington on Whidbey Island, surrounded by water. And during that season, I felt like I was drowning with 500 pounds attached to my feet in the middle of the Puget Sound. But during that time, I felt Jesus was holding me up, but just barely, like my lips. My hands are full. I like to talk with my hands. This is awkward. But my lips were just barely above the surface of the water, but he was doing it. And as that rough season came to a close, it was like he dragged me up to the shore, out of the water, dropped me, and left. And for 2 years, I felt dry. My faith wasn't shaken, but where are you, Lord? What happened? You were there, and then you were just gone. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter what I did, what I tried. I think I could have gone to a week of services like we had here, and I think the result would have been the same. And it was literally 2 years later, I was working by myself on a job site. Thankfully, I was by myself, and I was just listening to a sermon in my earbuds. Nothing different than I've done for day after day after day. And in that moment, when he decided it was time, he came back. And I literally dropped to my knee. And I would say it's the only experience that I've had that rivaled what happened this past week. And so my encouragement is for, if there's any of you here, maybe you didn't come at all because you feel like you were in that dry season. Or maybe you came and felt let down. Maybe there was a prayer that you were yearning for an answer that you don't feel like you didn't receive. Don't give up. I think as humans, we have a simple mind of how God works, and either he works in covert ways or overt ways. He either works underneath the surface or he works out loud, directly. And the more I mature in my faith, I realize there isn't covert and overt. It's all overt. It's just sometimes we don't see what he is doing. And it was only after that 2 years of me that I realized that God hadn't abandoned me. But there was something happening during that time that I needed for the rest of my life to be planted firmly in Him. I'm going to start preaching, so I'm going to wrap this up.
You go, guys.
So if that's you this morning, you're not alone. God has not abandoned you, and He's not done with you yet. He never will be. And I want to close with reading Habakkuk, the very end. Three chapters of rich wrestling with God. Habakkuk started whining, "Why, God? Why the injustice? All this evil is around me. How come you're not doing what I want you to do?" And God completely breaks him, tears him apart. And at the end, Habakkuk comes back saying this, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places."
Thank you, Thomas. Darren, would you come up and share with us for a couple of minutes? And when Darren's finished, we'll talk about our life groups.
So one thing that really drew Mary and I into this church when we first started coming was the fellowship, just the unity and the love that people showed for each other. And this last week, there were some things that happened that just strengthened that more and more and proved it even more and more. There were some things going on that involved people here in the church that we came together and prayed for. Many of you may not know the Yamhill County Board of Commissioners had a very kind of tough decision to make, and there was a bunch of people that came up against them, and we went into earnest prayer, and God prevailed. Things went well. There was other issues that our member in our congregation has. A bunch of us gathered together and prayed. That situation made a huge turn to the good. So as we go through and we come in here in these circles, there's a lot of stuff going on out there. And I want to read from you. This just really hit me this morning when I was in my quiet time. Philippians 4, 10 through 14. It says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now, at last, your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress." This passage is something, it's kind of a, I guess you would call it a sandwich. And the meat that we always go to is, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And absolutely, absolutely, I totally agree with that. But as you well know, a sandwich has a couple of pieces of bread on it. And that comes in verse 10. "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that it now, at last, your care for me has flourished again." And verse 14, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress." So Paul, we look at him and we say, wow, he's like the most prolific writer of the New Testament. And we talk about all that. He did these missionary journeys that were incredible. But Paul wasn't alone. He had praying people that were there supporting him. He had churches that he had planted, that he had loved on, that were supporting him, that were prayerfully coming alongside of him when he was on these journeys, when he was doing all this. And that is a lot of what I witnessed this week here. God has made some incredible moves, as Pastor John was saying. The growth here in the last year has been amazing. And it's pure God, pure God. It has nothing to do with us. And I'll tell you, Thursday night youth group has been growing. We haven't been advertising. We haven't been pushing. We haven't been doing any of that. We've just prayed. And youth are showing up. Those are the kind of things that this prayer, this attitude, and this culture of prayer will bring. That we are the tools that God will use to make these changes, for this growth to happen. But it's only through prayer and unity that we can do that. And this week just showed me how much of that prayer and unity we have. It's been amazing. It's been life-changing.
Thanks, Sarah. Okay, as we wrap up, I wanted to just go through a couple of things as far as our life groups go. It's been a blessing to see those coming together, and I've asked some of the leaders that we have still have some space in some of the groups. We've got some that are filling up, but also some that are still available if you would love to be a part of that. And I'll tell you what, folks, I cannot encourage you enough. Jump in. God will meet you there in those groups in ways, and as we have, because Christianity is relational. And it's all about relationships, our relationship with Him and then our relationships with one another. And so I just want to encourage that. If you haven't signed up for one, Joe and Sue Gavlis, could you guys stand up? Just stand up. You know, I'm not going to have you come up. Okay, Joe and Sue, they have it on their hearts to host a home fellowship or a life group in the middle of the afternoon. They're going to be meeting on Thursdays at 2:00. Now, Harvey Bowen, he's homesick today, but he's going to be leading it. They're going to be hosting this. So if you'd like to be a part of that, in their heart was there are probably people in the body that don't want to drive at night or that would like to, that have the time if you're retired or whatever, that like to be able to gather, then that's their heart. And I think it's just a wonderful thing that they're doing there. I've got some people signed up already, but there's room in their group for more. Another is Dennis and Evelyn Stocking. Would you guys stand up? Dennis is one of our elders, and just a wonderful couple. Now, they live over on the east side. They live on the other side of I-5 in Woodburn. And so we've got some people that I think that Lee, you and Corrine are signed up for their group that live in Kaiser. And there's some other people that I hope they're in the second service that I want to approach that live in the Canby area and Aurora and all that. So if you're on the east side and you'd like to be a part, or the west, yeah, the east side, and you'd like to be a part of a group, Dennis and Evelyn, wonderful. I've been to their house, and Evelyn knows how to cook. So, but truly, wonderful fellowship with these two. Delightful couple. The last one is Gary and Peggy Kilberg. Could you guys stand up? Gary and Peggy are going to be hosting a group. Thomas, who was up here, will be overseeing that. I think Dave and Crystal are going to be a part of that as well. We've blended those two. And I think Doug Willingham up in the booth, we've asked him to be a part of that. There are some different ones, but they have room in their group. And so we would love to, again, they're going to be meeting on Wednesdays at 6:30. At the Kilberg's house. So, again, those are just opportunities. We have a sign-up sheet on the coffee bar if you want to be. We had them for individual groups, but we just have one sign-up sheet now. If you want to be a part of one of these groups that we're talking about, sign up, and we will get you connected. So just wanted to bring that out before we wrap up this morning. Also, again, yes, Stacy. Oh,
I see nothing.
I was in an art class once. I was in a college art class, And the teacher was asking if anybody wanted to volunteer to go up and to sit, just be frozen in a pose for 3 hours. And this woman was swatting a fly, and she went like that. And he went, "Great, Pam, come on up." And she was like, "No." Anyway, let's pray, and we'll worship the Lord again and wrap up. Father, thank you, Lord. The thing that shared it this week, and yet it's so true, Lord, from Ephesians chapter 3, you have been here through this week of prayer and fasting, and in a way that, at least in my heart, has been exceedingly abundantly above all that we asked or thought. Lord, you're so faithful. You're so good. Lord, you're so loving. And just, I know, Lord, that in the hearts of many, that you have met them here this week. We look forward to Saturday nights going forward. Lord, let us be known by the love that we have for one another, and let us be known as a church that prays. That's our heart's desire. So we give you this time, Lord. We thank you for it. Thank you for each one that shared. For those that perhaps were shy about sharing, Lord, we ask that you would just do a special work there as well. So we just continue to worship you now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll get you next. And Ellie, could I have your mic, please? Have a seat for just a second. Ron, come up. Ron's going to close us out with a word. I'll tell you what, I love this man, and the morning that we had, just sort of that holy hush fall upon this place, Ron said, "I've got things to do, but I don't want to leave." Go ahead.
And I'm sorry, Pastor John, I suffered from Alzheimer's disease this morning. I was convinced that church started at 10, so that's when we used to when we were just all together. Anyway, thank you for being patient. I brought my cheat sheet. Someone else expressed this as well. Wow. I don't know how else to express it. It was one of the most beautiful, in fact, it was the most beautiful week in my life. Sometimes I tend to go on a rabbit trail, and I don't want to do that this morning, but I'll keep you just briefly. I've always been a doer, you know, things with my hands and so forth. I've not been one that would speak publicly. I didn't have the gift for it, and I didn't want to venture there. I knew the Lord would encourage me, but, you know, I was just too stubborn. And I never felt complete in the last 70 years of my life. I accept the Lord as a young preteen, 10 years old, and I remember that as such a joyous thing. It was such a freeing, but since then, there has been times in my life that have just been terrible. I don't know how else to explain it. Horrendous. And like Thomas said, I related to you, Thomas, so many times. God, where are you? I need you. I want you, I desire you, and then I'd walk away. And as the week before, it was advertised that we were going to have fasting and prayer for a week, a whole week. I've never been able to do more than 2 days at a time. But yet, as we sat in our circles and we communicated with each other, and it just drew something in me. And I came last week with a heaviness and a void in my heart. Some of you know, and it was probably because of some of that, but I lost my wife of 58 years back about 2.5 years ago. And for weeks after that, I just begged the Lord to take me to. I couldn't put up with it. She was everything to me. In fact, many times I was convinced that I needed to make God my everything, not my wife. But I didn't know how to do that. And coming the first morning of the prayer and fasting, the prayer part of it, and I saw all the people that were congregated around the different groups, and I enjoyed it so much. But as the days progressed, I began to feel that heaviness and that void disappear. To look at each of you, to see that we were all like-minded. We had a goal in mind, if you want to call it that, and that was to get closer to God. He allowed that, and I praise him for it. And then I began to get excited. I began to think, well, Lord, what's going to happen from here? Lord, are you preparing our hearts for something way bigger than we have ever experienced or ever could imagine could happen? Thomas, share it again. I'm sorry, I'm picking on Thomas.
So we like picking on you.
Well, I'm at home then. So Thomas brought out about the stones on the other side of the River Jordan. And it immediately came to my mind, we have crossed that Jordan together. So let the praises begin. How much longer do you folks want to stay?
Well, we have another service in about 25 minutes.
So I'm going to have to quit. Well, I'll end with, I'm convinced that the Lord has begun a work in us, and I'm trusting him to finish it. So, just one quick thing. My dad, years ago...
You sound like a preacher, right? You know how many times I close? Go ahead.
Maybe I should just give this back to Pastor. I don't know.
You're doing great.
My dad got up in front of the congregation. I was just a tyke. I don't remember. 5, 6 years old, maybe. And he brought a spool of thread. And he had several of the young people come up. And he started by saying, you know, if we stand alone, we're very vulnerable. And so he took the string and wrapped it around two fingers, one loop, and it was easily broken. And, of course, it went on, and it got harder and harder. So my point is, if we try to stand alone, we're not going to make it very easily. But if we are together, we are strong.
Oh, thank you, Ron. God bless you. Well, hey, guys, for the first time in a week, I can announce we have snacks. Love to have you stick around and enjoy some fellowship together with us. And thank you to all of you that were part of this last week. Pray that the blessing of that continues on. Pray that for those of you that perhaps weren't, if you'd like to be involved on Saturday nights, there's a blessing in that as well. So thank you for those also that shared this morning. The Lord bless you. Give you a great day.